Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
A recent Pew Research Center survey on Americans' attitudes toward religious groups has been getting a lot of media coverage. The New York Times wrote about it, as did Christianity Today. Two different angles on the same story. What did we learn? And does it indicate that Americans know more about the groups that they favor more now, according to the Pew Research? Joining us to talk about media coverage of the Pew Research Center survey on Americans' attitudes toward religious groups, Terry Mattingly. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Glad to be here.
How do you account for the two different angles on the same story, this Pew Research on American attitudes toward religious groups?
Well, I think the main place you have to start is with the old saying within journalism that all news is local. This is something like the central commandment of real estate gospel, which is, of course, location, location, location. The New York Times read this study and looked at it from the point of view of all of America, which is here we are in this kind of bitterly divided political atmosphere, yet people are feeling warmer feelings about religious groups, including people that from the New York Times perspective you would think would receive negative ratings, as in Muslims or atheists. However, the Times perhaps isn't thinking of media coverage of these groups as one of the guiding factors in this whole situation. Meanwhile, Christianity Today, location, 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 their local backyard is the evangelical scene. So thus, the odd person group out of this study was the fact that while everybody was rising in terms of positive feelings and good vibes in this Pew study, the only group that did not rise in favor with the American public in general were evangelicals, who have a high favorability rating, but it was plateaued. Christianity Today then dug deeper and realized that if you take the evangelicals out, and there are lots of evangelicals in America, if you remove the evangelicals from this poll, you find out that only 32% of white Americans have feelings for evangelicals that are warm to any degree at all. They either rate as cold or outright negative, cool or negative views, which when you flip the stat around, I would think perhaps the most provocative headline out of this is that more than two-thirds of white Americans have negative feelings about evangelicals. That strikes me as an edgier headline and one that has more to say to us after this last political year.
You point out, of course, that the New York Times is framing this in that political year, in the presidential elections. What do you see?
Yeah, there? Of course. I mean, as we've said many times, politics is the only thing that's real. That has to be the story here because everything is essentially political.
What moved around in this poll? Was that clear in either of these coverages?
Well, I mean, it basically said everybody else was rising and evangelicals stayed the same. From the New York Times and from the Pew Forum Foundation perspective, the Pew Research Center, I should say, that's the news here, which means it's not all that big a headline. But when you read the Christianity Today piece and you probe deeper, you perhaps see a larger trend. And this was something that when I read it, I went, my gosh, this sounds really familiar to me. And I dug back in my memory and remembered that something like 14 years ago, I had done a column about two researchers in that hotbed of American conservatism, City University of New York City, two guys at Baruch College, Gerald DeMayo and Louis Bolz. It may be DeMayo instead of DeMayo. I have to admit that I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that last name. Anyway, these two guys had done a study in the late 90s, and they concluded that in American political life, the only group of people that you're allowed to hate are fundamentalist Christians. And then they admitted that they couldn't really tell the difference between evangelical and fundamentalist Christians. And the fact that their data was based on surveys from like 1992 and in the years after that, to me, the fact that they had about the same percentage of Americans who had negative feelings toward evangelicals, they began to see things like that in the 90s. If anything, that made this data even more relevant to me because, I mean, do you think that the American public has had more positive feelings about evangelicals in the last 25 years? You think things are getting better for evangelicals?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so listen to it. This is from some material from a column that I did all the way back in 2004, and their studies. This is just amazing stuff to me, especially because they honed in on the delegates to Democratic National Conventions. They had the Republican Convention numbers as well. But in the Democratic National Convention delegates, 89% of white delegates to the 1992 Democratic National Convention on their scale qualified as anti-fundamentalist voters, meaning that what united them more than anything else was their hatred of very conservative forms of Christianity. And what I thought was interesting, 53% of the white Democratic delegates gave Christian fundamentalists a thermometer rating. In other words, how warmly do you feel about them? They gave them a thermometer rating of zero. So that's half the Democratic convention in 1992. Now, if you stop and think about it, basically, aren't we talking about kind of the Clinton-Gore era there? You know, with two Southern Baptists at the top of the ticket? Remind me of exactly which races were in what year, but that's still in their era or just after it, which I find really, really interesting. Well, it would have to be their era because 2000 was the controversial election between George W. Bush and Al Gore, right? So anyway, this feeling toward evangelical slash fundamentalist Protestant Christians, clearly this has been around now as a dominant force on the American left for at least 25 years. You know, I think there's a story buried in there somewhere, and it struck me as really interesting.
You raised the question, which you've raised many times. It's kind of a regular subject, especially among those who watch religion and news coverage. And that is, was the term Christian evangelical or evangelical defined?
Yeah, I have no idea what it means. I've quoted many times the fact that in the mid-1980s, I asked Billy Graham for his definition of the word evangelical. And Billy Graham told me, an on-the-record quote which I published, that he has no idea what the word evangelical means. And, of course, I said, Dr. Graham, if you don't know what the word evangelical means, you know, then who in the world knows what the word evangelical means? So this led into a discussion, of course, of biblical authority and some specific doctrinal issues. The key was that Billy Graham was defining the term primarily in terms of biblical beliefs, creedal beliefs, Christian history, etc. It's very clear that the word evangelical increasingly, and this could only have increased over the last 25 years, 30 years, the word evangelical now is primarily used as a political term that means white Republicans, is essentially what the word evangelical means. And when you start looking at it that way, and then you start thinking at kind of what the big political story of the last 30-plus years in American life has been, kind of post-Roe v. Wade, you begin to see what might be happening here. Bolz and DeMayo, again, in their study, they suspected, and I mean, this is a Catholic guy and an Episcopalian in the context of New York City, they suspected that press coverage, imagine that, might have something to do with these emerging attitudes. So they did a study. They picked three elite newspapers. They picked the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, and the Washington Post. And they found that in the decade between 1990 and 2000, those three newspapers had published nearly 1,000 stories about the political clout of conservative Christians. Then they searched for stories about the political clout of secular people, religious liberals, etc., and they found 59 stories in the same decade. So that's almost 1,000 to 60 or so over a decade in terms of who are the powerful people in American political life. They looked for secular political clout stories on television in 2 years, 2003, 2004, using the Vanderbilt University archives, and they found zero stories, in fact, about the religious left or the secular religious left compared to the overarching coverage that the big change in American life was the evangelicals and fundamentalists were on the march, you know, and trying to push America in a certain direction. So now, is that direct proof of causality, you know, that media coverage of political power among conservative religious people has led to negative feelings about them? I don't think there's causality proven there, but you would have to take that into consideration as one of the factors. You give people lots and lots and lots of negative press, and hey, guess what? Negative feelings toward them grow among people of other political beliefs. And when you look at that figure in the new Pew poll, that like 33 or so percent of Americans had warm feeling toward evangelicals, well, what's the percentage in American life of people who call themselves born again or evangelical? It's around 30, 35, 40. It's really interesting stuff going on here.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a Pew Research Center survey on Americans' attitudes toward religious groups. Did either the New York Times or Christianity Today explain why the other groups are the subject of warmer attitudes? We'll get the answer to that question after this.
O morning star, of morning star, shine with God's light across the world.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, Gethsemane-LCMS.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered.
For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of a Pew Research Center survey on Americans' attitudes toward religious groups. Terry Mattingly of Get Religion and the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion is our guest. Terry, talk about the two coverages that you have written recently about the New York Times and Christianity Today. Did either of them attempt to explain why the other groups other than Christian evangelicals are the subject of warmer attitudes from Americans?
Well, there were some quotes in the New York Times piece that got into that and basically suggested that in the face of negative news coverage and things, particular of Muslims, of atheists, that people were being driven to say, no, I'm tolerant of all kinds of people. I trust those people. I feel good about those people. I mean, and who could be opposed to that kind of trend within American life? I mean, if you look at those numbers, you would think, wow, the last year or two must be a really positive time in American life when it comes to issues about religion and faith and these different faith groups. Yet when you actually think of what we've been through in the last 2 years, would you say that this has been an overwhelmingly positive, warm, happy, you know, warm and fuzzy year or two in the life of America when it comes to talking about religion?
It was not warm, but it was heated, and there's nothing fuzzy about it.
Well, okay, so this struck me as really interesting and kind of, methinks they just protest too much, maybe is a phrase that leaps to mind. Then you begin to think, well, what if the last year or two has been dominated primarily by growing divisions between evangelical Protestant Christians? And if you're using the term evangelical to mean white Republicans who are religious, what if the last year or two has been primarily marked by a growing division between that group of Americans and everybody else? In other words, everybody else is feeling better and better about themselves. Evangelicals and how they're viewed by the rest of the nation, not so much. Maybe that better explains where we've been. And it also, remember how all the way through the campaign for the White House, especially in the GOP primaries, over and over, we had this dominant headline: evangelicals love Trump. And there were significant evangelicals who did, primarily among a kind of old school, previous generation religious right leadership. There were people who really did love Trump who were called evangelicals. But from the very beginning, the evangelical community was highly divided over the candidacy of Donald Trump. And then when we actually get to Election Day, according to the best statistics that we have from a couple of weeks before the election, and I still haven't seen any major sweep of final exit poll data that gives us a deeper look at this, the best evidence is that only about half of people who would call themselves white evangelicals, that only about half of them voted for Donald Trump because they wanted to. The other half voted for Donald Trump because they were worried about the U.S. Supreme Court and religious liberty, and they voted against Hillary Clinton. The statement that I'm sure you've heard a million times, and I know I've used it here on Crossroads a couple of times. Basically, evangelicals were saying, we're not sure what Donald Trump is going to do, but we know what Hillary Clinton is going to do on the religious, moral, and cultural issues that matter most to us. 50% of the evangelicals who voted, in effect, were willing to roll the dice. Maybe a gambling metaphor is not the best thing to do when dealing with Trump, but let's go with that.
The Pew survey did divide out Roman Catholics from Christian evangelicals, but right. How do you explain when the media report Catholic leaders as evangelicals?
Oh, you mean the old syndrome, like when they called Rick Santorum an evangelical?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was that classic case when Rick Santorum, Senator Rick Santorum, a very conservative Roman Catholic from Pennsylvania, was listed among the most powerful evangelicals in America in a cover story by Time magazine. On that case, I actually called up Time because I was going to write about it for my On Religion column. I called him up and said, you know, why did you call him an evangelical? And they went, well, he's very, very popular with evangelicals. And I said, well, Pope John Paul II is very popular with evangelicals. That doesn't make him a Protestant evangelical. And they said, well, Rick Santorum, the public relations person I was talking to, said, well, Rick Santorum votes evangelical. And I think in some ways, that's really all you have to say.
What does that mean?
He votes conservative on religious and moral issues, which means he must be an evangelical. Not, of course, that based on Roman Catholic social teachings, you could get to conservative positions on things like abortion, marriage, family, etc.
By that definition, it wouldn't be unimaginable for Time magazine to refer to a Jewish senator as an evangelical, which would be truly ironic.
Oh, I think they would notice that one. I think that would fly a flag high enough that they would pick that one up. I don't expect him to do that.
So how cemented is that definition, evangelical as white Republican, conservative Republican?
Oh, I think it's carved in stone at this point. And it'll be that way until the business libertarian coalition side of the Republican Party wins a couple of more really big victories. And you finally begin to see conservative Jews, conservative Catholics, Eastern Orthodox Christians, conservative Protestant evangelicals beginning to sincerely doubt the three-party system. Until then, I think evangelicals are stuck with the Republicans as their least risky voting option. You know, you've heard me say before, there's a saying that in the Democratic Party, labor unions are the votes that you don't have to do anything for them because they don't have anywhere else to go. So thus you have the saying that the religious right is to the Republican Party what labor unions are to the Democratic Party, the large voting bloc that you don't actually have to treat very well because they have no other options when they go in the voting booth.
Is there any indication in either of the pieces that dealt with the Pew Research that Americans have warmed to other religious groups because they've learned more about those groups?
Oh, it's possible. I would think particularly about when you look at Muslims. I think that there's been a lot of coverage and perfectly valid coverage. Let me stress that. Perfectly valid coverage that stresses the difference between these radicalized forms of Islam and the actual daily lives of ordinary practicing Muslims in most American communities. Post 9/11, that's been a huge and totally valid theme in press coverage. So I think you could say that there has been a drip effect on people that are kind of getting that. As for the whole world of atheists and agnostics, I would say that the viewpoint of that group of Americans has been softened somewhat, once again, by the perfectly valid coverage of the Pew Research Center's poll from 2012 that pointed out how really interesting this growing group of people called the religiously unaffiliated are, the spiritual but not religious. And I think more and more Americans are beginning to see that I don't want to claim any particular religion. I think more and more Americans are beginning to see that as not only a valid option, but kind of a normal option. And maybe that's what they're hearing from their own children or their own grandchildren. And I could see over time that a more nuanced view of unbelief could sink into American life. Doesn't that make sense to you?
What's the overall picture here, then, the takeaway for either the New York Times or Christianity Today, if everybody's getting warmer feelings from the American public in terms of their religious affiliation, except for Christian evangelicals who have stayed in the same place? What's the big picture?
Well, I would urge people, if they're going to go to Get Religion and check this post out, which went up today during the lunch hour, if people went to Get Religion and looked that up, the New York Times piece is very straightforward. It's very normal. It's very clear. Look at the data. But I would urge people to seek out this Christianity Today piece and look at the second level of numbers that it pulls out and kind of the debate about why this attitude toward evangelicals exists and where it might go. This is a case where the specialty media, such as Christianity Today, the niche media, that specific audience's own media, it's really crucial to look that up in this case. Otherwise, you're just not going to get the kind of cloud that's over this Pew Research Center study. You're not going to get the whole picture.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. And he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
Joy Pullman of The Federalist will be with us on the other side for the next 10 minutes to round off the program. We're going to talk about repealing Common Core. Stay tuned.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.